The U.S. didn't get there in 2016, but a war-ravaged West African nation was able to make it happen 10 years earlier. That's when Liberia elected a female head of state. Ellen Johnson Sirleaf was a 60-something grandmother when she became the first woman to lead an African nation. Today, she's still in charge. Journalist Helene Cooper was born in Liberia, and she's just written a new biography of Sirleaf. It's called Madam President. In an early chapter, Cooper writes about Sirleaf's marriage to a violent husband.
He was jealous of a lot of her early successes, and he started hitting her pretty early on in their marriage, and that grew and grew to where he threatened her. He hit her with the butt of his gun. He threatened to shoot her. He was constantly abusive. There was one scene where he beat her in the front seat of his car. It's pretty remarkable that she came out of this abusive marriage when she finally did leave him after a horrible scene in which he was threatening to kill her right in front of their 8-year-old son.
Wow.
Who then tried to spray a mosquito spray into his father's eyes. You know, and after taking this for so many years, it was seeing her son see her like that in that position that kind of broke the back of the marriage, and she walked out.
How did she shake that whole experience off with her husband psychologically? Did she ever?
She is not the most introspective person that I have ever met. She's one of those people who something happens to them, she shakes it off very quickly and moves on to what she's going to do next. And that was definitely the case with her marriage. She went on to work for the Treasury Department in Liberia. She moved up into the bureaucratic world. She came back to the United States. She went back to Liberia and was actually Minister of Finance in 1980. When the military coup took place and Samuel Doe took over in a very bloody coup in which all of the other cabinet ministers of Liberia were executed on the beach by firing squad except for Ellen Johnson Sirleaf.
Why do you think she made that compromise to work for Samuel Doe in the first place? I mean, her colleagues were declared enemies of the people, then tied to these telephone poles. I mean, it could have been her fate, too.
And not just that, but her sister had been brutalized. Her brother-in-law would have been killed if he had been in the country. Her other brother was put in jail. I asked her how she could bring herself to work for him, and she said it's because she believed that the bloodletting was just the initial sort of what was going on with the time of the military coup, and had hoped that once that was over, the government would then go about the business of attending to the needs of people. And the old guard that had been overthrown needed to step aside because they had been very elitist. They had been a very unfair government that had subjugated a lot of the people anyway. She soon discovered that she was not going to be able to do that, that they weren't going to pay attention to her. And she, within 6 or 7 months of taking the job for Samuel Doe, walked out.
Mm. So Ellen Johnson Sirleaf rose to the presidency in 2006 on the heels of more than a dozen years of bloody civil wars. And with that as a backdrop, voters had this choice: elect a soccer star, George Weah, with no experience in government, no education, or Sirleaf, an experienced bureaucrat, educated, qualified beyond reproach. How hard was that kind of reality for her to swallow, for Sirleaf, that she was running against this soccer star that everybody was supporting, it seemed?
Yeah, except everybody wasn't, because she won. And she seemed to be pretty, you know, the women weren't supporting him at all. And the women rose up en masse to back her. And they were willing to take all sorts of shortcuts and play dirty with the men because they were so convinced that after years of civil war, only a woman could lead Liberia because they thought she had nothing to do with the civil war. And they were afraid that the men would take them back to war. It was very much a sex-based campaign. And so George Weah, as you mentioned, had all this support from a lot of young boys who loved his, you know, fantastic goals when he played for AC Milan as a striker. But then you had all the women in Liberia throwing their weight and their support behind the 67-year-old grandma.
Yeah, talk about some of those, the cleverness that some of those women took on voting day in 2006.
Some of the mothers stole their sons' voter ID cards. Some women were hanging out at the bar on the side of the road, and they were offering these guys money for their voter ID cards. In the polling lines, I talked to two women who were passing the same baby around to the different women, saying, you can pretend you're a nursing mother, and they'll let you jump to the front of the line so you don't have to wait in line for 8, 10, 12 hours. hours like everybody else is doing. And they did all of this. You know, this was all part of their effort to just what they called it at the time was vote for a woman, because they were convinced that they were going to vote for a woman, they were going to get a woman elected president, and then Liberia wouldn't go back to war.
Sub-Saharan Africa is known for the big man, an all-powerful leader at the helm who rules for life quite often. And when Ellen Johnson Sirleaf first ran, it was for one term. Now she's been in power for 11 years. She's kind of made herself indispensable. Has she created, do you think, a system that can replace her? Or is she kind of a big woman?
Her term is about to end this year. And for the first time in Liberian history, you're going to have a post-president, somebody who steps down at the end of their term and leaves. And she's going to be that rare African president who steps down and leaves democratically, not waiting until they're shot or killed or run out of town. So I think that sort of answers that question. But I think the biggest part of her legacy has been the absence of war for 12 years, and the fact that the women in Liberia now believe that they can be a political force.
Aline, that's great. I have one final request, and I hope you'll indulge us. We love the way you're kind of using Liberian English throughout the book in conversation. You know where I'm going with this.
I know where you're going. We speak in constant parable in Liberia, and Liberian English is filled with all of these parables. And one of them that we have, one of my favorite ones, is crab baby die, crab don't cry, that big eye bumpy yeah crying. And what it actually translates in English to is a crab's baby has just died, and the crab is not crying about the dead baby. It's this other fish called a big eye bumpy that's crying. And what it really means is that,
really,
you know, what do you care about this? This is something that happened to me. You know, this is none of your business.
And does the president of Liberia, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, use this kind of parable?
Oh,
speech?
Yeah. Her campaign slogan was, "Monkeys stay wagging while wild baboon join." And what that means is she, in this case, is the monkey who's very crafty and very hardworking, and the men are the baboons. And they just sit around and draw all day.
I love it. It's got great rhythm, too.
Yeah. I still dream in Liberian English, which is weird because I don't have any trouble speaking American English when I'm talking to Americans. But whenever I'm in Liberia, I'm able to just slide back in. And that actually helped a lot in my interviews with her, was once we stopped speaking American English to each other and started speaking Liberian English to each other, she dropped a lot of her reserve with me.
Helene Cooper is a correspondent for The New York Times. Her new book is called Madam President, The Extraordinary Journey of Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. Helene, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Marco.